things are gross.
Things that's very are true. Gross. Not as ooh, gross as that. Stuff.
Oh, God, not stuff.
You know what's worse? Junk.
Sometimes things what? Lead to stuff, and that's just... Nobody likes
okay,
that junk.
Okay, sometimes I'm okay with things leading to stuff.
That's really wise. Sometimes things lead to stuff.
Yeah. Hmm.
And sometimes junk leads to... Greetings, Apropossy. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts.
Salsa.
James.
And Jenna.
And special guest.
Cedius.
Yay! Cedius Scotchbringer.
You say the full name.
Oh, yeah. Cedius Scotchbringer. Even though I'm not bringing you scotch this time.
It's, it's still your moniker.
It feels
we're
appropriate
still doing
to
this proper.
Today. All right,
today you're
all
Cedius right. Scotch Haver.
Yes.
I mean.
There you go.
Applicable.
Ooh, what are you drinking, Cedius?
I am drinking Tom and Tool Single Peated Malt.
Single Peated? Okay. On a
yeah, you know,
scale?
You remember that TV show Pete and Pete? This yeah. one's just one of them.
Oh my God.
If he burps, I can't believe you just did that.
Yeah.
So how does it compare to, say, like Achentoshen?
So Tom and Tool is super smooth. So okay. compared to Achentoshen, actually, they're like so Tom and Tool's tagline is the gentle dram. Tom and Tool is like by far the smoothest overall distillery that I've ever had, but often to the point where it is boring.
Oh.
However, this is smooth and peated, which makes it my happy place.
Nice.
It gives it something to sink your teeth into and,
yeah.
and
yeah.
a point of conversation.
I'm reminded to tell you about a scotch that I picked up recently. But.
Yeah, what line did you use?
Hey, baby.
God damn
you sit around this glass often?
No. Fuck.
What's a drink like you doing in a glass like this?
No. What's a nice drink like you doing in a bar like this?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Anyway, you were saying before I...
She walked into my office one malt at a time.
Well, that would be yes. hopping in my case, and that would be weird.
Only if it's beer. Yep. None of this
I wouldn't
is going
know.
Jenna's way.
yeah. I don't... Whatever. I'm drinking a Cuban mojito in a glass bottle.
Hmm.
It's Cayman Jack Cuban mojito.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty tasty.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as good as the Cutwater.
Okay.
The Cutwater is the A-plus level.
Mm-hmm.
I would put this at about an A-minus, though.
Mm.
If Cutwater is my 100%, mm-hmm. this is in the lower 90%.
Yeah, when you need a cheap cocktail that you don't have to mix yourself.
Mm-hmm. Although the Cutwater probably does a better job than I would anyway.
Mm.
I would put too much rum in it, let's be clear. Like, that would just be...
I'm afraid you've lost me on too much and rum.
Yeah, at a certain point, it just becomes mint sugar rum as opposed to a mojito.
I don't see the problem.
I don't see the problem.
The problem, Salsa, is that if you have too much rum in a drink, it's that much sooner before you get to the why is the rum gone?
You just buy more rum.
Oh, look at Mr. Rum Money over here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not on a pirate ship in the middle of the ocean. I'm near a grocery store. This
what
is not
kind of grocery store are you going to that sells liquor?
Well, I was in Wisconsin this last weekend, so that was...
Well, we'll talk about that in a moment.
Yep.
So what are you drinking, James?
I have opened a Waconia Brewing Company chocolate peanut butter porter.
I was hoping for a hot toddy. God damn it.
I was doing okay until it was peanut butter porter, because I can't do peanut anymore.
Well.
Oh, no. That's
oh, welcome
bad.
To my world.
Ah, yes.
It starts
I, on the
here,
other hand,
idiot.
Can... And would very much like to get my lips around that can.
Ew. Please don't say things like that, Salsa.
I would really love to suck on that cylinder that God James is sucking on.
Damn it. I don't.
There's a little hole in the end that you could put your mouth on, and then all of the liquid that comes out would go into your mouth.
Yeah.
And sucking on the cylinder is actually weirdly better to me.
On that hard cylinder with the liquid that shoots out.
See, this is the part of the thing that I missed, and I don't know why I stopped listening to you guys, because this is awesome.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
Yeah, welcome back, fucker. Anyway.
No, I know what it was.
Welcome back, fucker. Wow, that was one of my favorite porn parodies of the 1980s.
Welcome back.
You know what it was, Sidious? What did we do wrong? Or
no, it had nothing to do with y'all.
Ah, that almost hurts more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
God, now I'm picturing the Welcome Back, Cotter porn parody, and
yeah,
there's a lot.
Yeah, I was trying really hard.
There's
not
a
to.
Lot of afros.
Same.
Top yeah, and I'm, bottom.
Yes.
Mm-mm. No. Nope. Oh God. I'm going to drink more. So
Bush
what are
like
you
a topiary garden.
Yep.
Anyway, this is actually, it's very approachable. It does not have, it's got porter-like smoothness, but it doesn't have like a syrupy quality to it.
Oh, God damn it. That's everything I don't want.
So it's,
I love my syrupy.
It's not an imperial or a strong, is it?
Correct. Yeah, it's just a...
Oh, okay. So,
just an American style porter.
Oh, okay. I usually don't associate syrupiness with that until like it becomes like an imperial. But
yeah, the chocolate and peanut butter flavor are both pretty light,
subtle.
Well. They're definitely there. It's not like the apple flavor on the ciders that we were drinking, but it's...
or anything by LaCroix.
Yeah. Rumor of lemon.
Mm-hmm.
What about LaCroix?
It is the memory of a ghost of a flavor.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't fucking care if that's what you're drinking right now. I'm still going to say it.
It's a can full of television static.
Ooh, I like that.
Static's got more to say.
Yeah.
Look, LaCroix has its place, and its place is right next to tap water.
Yeah.
I drink LaCroix, and I have no illusions about it.
Mm-hmm.
I have... gone through periods where I've been a LaCroix person and still had no illusions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Although the key lime is better than the rest.
Key lime and limoncello. Limoncello is, I think, by far the best.
I could never find the limoncello. It was always gone. I was very sad.
Yeah. That's our next.
See the like Pellegrino or whatever that was lemon. That was pretty good stuff.
That is good.
Mm-mm. Nope.
I haven't had San Pellegrino.
Is that? I think so. It's the one with the like the like foil wrapper on the top. Yep.
A lot of those I had to stop drinking when I was on a low carb diet because they have a shitload of sugar in them.
Yeah, that's why they're good.
Huh,
right.
Well.
What are you drinking, Salsa?
I was in Wisconsin this weekend, so I had Glarus.
Nicholas!
Hey. I have not had this one before. I have a strawberry rhubarb New Glarus.
What?
It is a fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, that sounds glorious. Sounds glorious.
Before the podcast, Joe and I went out to Town Hall, and he got something that was a pumpkin spice beer.
Mm.
And he's like, I know who I am. I fucking love pumpkin spice. I got nothing to prove.
Yeah.
And I smelled the glass and it smelled lovely. And I was like, I know the moment that I take a sip, like everything will be shattered and like
right. My
world will come crumbling down. That's what I imagine Salsa's drink to be, where I would smell it and it would be the rhubarb and everything. And then
yeah,
if I had a sip, it would be like, bleh.
No, it is very forward. The strawberry and the rhubarb are both very much like, yes, we're here. We are absolutely the stars of the show here. We are not subtle at all.
So the Nuglaris is picking up. So the Nuglaris is picking up Salsa, and Salsa is not picking up the Nuglaris.
You know what? I don't. Something's getting picked up. I don't care what it is. I'm happy with my drink.
Yeah. All right.
my most recent beer adventure. I was at a place in, was it 7 Brewing, 10 Brewing, something in Anoka, and the Tims were playing last weekend.
Oh.
And. They had a sour, a passion fruit sour called Unicorn Piss or something like that. It was pretty good, actually.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Passion fruit sour. Yeah. That was a good time.
I'm not a passion fruit. I don't like passion fruit or grapefruit. I also don't like pineapple, but I can't have pineapple. I used to be able to have pineapple and didn't like it then. And now that I can't have pineapple, I'm like, oh no.
Jenna's more of a lie back and think of England fruit person.
I love my berries. Berries are awesome.
I got this joke.
Yes, I got it. But I love my berries.
She got it. It wasn't very good, so she moved past it, James.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. But berries are delicious.
Yes.
The dangly berries are amazing. Yes.
Speaking of booze.
Not all fruit.
I came home not just with beer this weekend, but I also came back with a shit ton of honey.
Ooh.
I'm going to be making myself some more mead.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Because one of the things at this Renaissance Festival that I do in early October, which is where I was, is they have a honey booth there. And so we go and, hey, about that honey, I know you're selling little like 1 pound bottles and 2 pound bottles and a quart here and there, but you wouldn't happen to have a 5 gallon bucket of it sitting around, would you?
Jesus.
I only came back with 1 gallon this year, but last year, Chris, one of the guys with the Fondazzi, came back with a 5 gallon bucket so he could make a bunch of stuff. But it was a new vendor this year, but I got a gallon of wildflower honey. It's very, very good stuff. I'm really looking forward to making something out of that. But yeah, I was at a Renaissance Festival, a gathering of rogues and ruffians in Baraboo, which used to be in a different location, but now takes place on the grounds of Circus World in Baraboo, Wisconsin, which means I get to perform in the Hippodrome at Circus World, which is just the fucking best. I cannot tell you. Oh, it's so good. It's just beyond good. Like, you walk into the back there and you look into the green room in the back and there's just notes left for people and just like writing all over the place and bits of scraps of props and stuff like that laying around. And you're just like, holy shit.
Oh yeah. History.
There are, you know, people that are famous circus performers that have been in these rooms and done shit. And it's pretty special. I do like it. And the acoustics in that building are fantastic. And it does a fantastic job of cutting the wind. So I'm able to do fire in there, you know, fire eating without hurting myself at all. And yeah, no. And it's a nice chill show. You know, it opens at 10 and it closes at 5 and you only have 3 shows a day. And so you're just like, I'm not running around madcap like you normally would be at Minnesota. So it's a fantastic way to end the season.
Yeah. Nice.
On kind of a chill note. And yeah. And so we head out there and my wife is with the Fondazzi. And so all of the Fondazzi get a cabin and I just shack up with them. But they rent
you
a cabin.
You ride your wife's coattails?
Oh, very much so. Absolutely. I mean, that's what I've been doing my whole fucking time I've been married to her.
Absolutely you have. Yeah.
But yeah, no, they rent an Airbnb cabin and they just, you know, that's what we do. We go out there and then we cook steak in, you know, Saturday night and stuff like that and have a good old time. So, but yeah, no, then we do our performances and And it's I like, because we have time between shows to actually like chill out, we actually like wander around and do shopping and see some other shows. And there's some shows at these festivals that aren't at Minnesota, which is a travesty in my opinion. Because sure. there is this one snake oil show that is so fucking funny. Like, these two have their patter down pat. And this show, it keeps rolling, and it's got a great rhythm, and the humor hits you, and you're just, it really blindsides you, because you're kind of following into the flow of the patter, and then the joke happens, and you kind of miss it at first, because it was just right in the rhythm, and suddenly you go, wait a second, you know, what just fucking happened there? And yeah, no, it's so good. Yeah. And they have an aerialist there. Sephi does her sort yeah, of her ladder bed and stuff like that. Just it's great. I love that show so much. It's also really exhausting. Because, right. You know, after 7 weekends at Minnesota, you pack up sure. the car and you go do another one. Fuck. So, yeah, no rest for the wicked until now. Now there's rest. Now I can rest. I'm wicked.
Now you can rest?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. All right then.
You have that car back.
Well,
so you didn't listen to last episode.
No, it's because I listened to last episode that I'm asking that question.
No, I don't have my car back.
Have you heard anything? Like, did they figure out who towed it there? At least,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, as to that, still working on that.
Medium height man kind of looked like Kid Rock, had
the car got there. That's all I at this point care about. But I was also occupied with striking Minnesota and getting ready for Baraboo. Yeah. So it was just like, I don't have time to sit on the phone trying to figure out who fucking towed my car. Cause at this point I don't give a fucking
it's there.
Rats ass. It's there. And I'm going to make them pay for it. So I don't give a shit mm-hmm. who gets paid as long as it's not me doing the paying. So at this point, it's just like, just fucking, I don't care. I'm so
in the background. You can hear the sounds of the TARDIS. Just
Yeah. So that was my weekend. I'm sure I'm positive that I had a billion stories to tell, but I'm going to be honest. I can't think of a single fucking
can't think of
one.
Any of them.
Not at the moment. I'm so brain dead right now. Cause after we struck yesterday, we still had to drive home, you know? So
yeah.
Well, I'm sure we can listen to those at a later date and probably won't, but we could. So,
nice.
Yeah. I had birthday shenanigans.
Yeah.
I had so many birthday shenanigans. So here's the deal. I've thought about this a lot. I had somebody ask me, Jenna, why do you have so many birthday shenanigans? And here's the thing. Number one. At one point I was told that I had, what they call kind of like a sleeper agent disease, wherein they just expected it to pop out at some point and it never has. Their expectation was like mid-20s, and it didn't. So I'm still here. And that's fucking worth celebrating a lot.
Yeah.
Every birthday is kind of a fuck you to whatever the hell is going on in there. But the second thing is that I have had, over the course of my life, a weird number of people try to take my birthdays away from me. I have a celebration and somebody says, how dare you have a celebration? So I basically have just added a celebration for every time somebody says, how dare you have a celebration? In consolidated form. So I have about 5 birthday celebrations that I do.
Sure.
And one of them, I go out for sushi. And since the pandemic actually helped kind of split things into different celebrations too, because large group was not a thing. And so like smaller, more controlled groups became the deal. So I had sushi with a select group of people. That was delightful. It was smaller than expected. There were a lot of people that were unable to attend last minute. Some people I never actually got an RSVP from. Whatever. It's fine. But it was a great group of people that were just hanging out, chit-chatting, and eating sushi. So, yeah, that was nice. I had it at Origami, which... I had had DoorDash from Origami.
Okay.
But never been to Origami. And I'd called them up and I was like, I have no idea how many people I'm going to have, but it might be up to this number. And they're like, you should reserve our mezzanine. And I was like, how much extra does that cost? And they were like, nope. And I was like, oh, well, then I will definitely reserve that. Thank you.
Shit. Yeah.
And from then on, I was excited to be in a mezzanine. I don't know why. It's weird, but it delighted me. But then, yeah, the people that showed up, and we had a lovely time tasting each other's sushis, hanging out, chilling. And, yeah, their sushi at the restaurant, unsurprisingly, better than their DoorDash. Yeah. So that was lovely. That was Wednesday. That was on my birthday proper. Oh, I also got my hair done by Justin Link. It's a bit darker than normal. I was going through old pictures and I was like, ooh, I miss that color. And Justin was like, the one I was doing for you like 3 years ago. I was like, yeah. He's like, well, weirdly, I know how to do that. And I'm like, okay, well,
funny how that works.
Yeah. So did that. Did that and then sushi. And then Thursday, I went out to Reverend Matt's Monster Science.
Yay!
Ran into a few people there.
Really?
What? Sat next to a weirdo.
I know, right? Who was that guy?
Yeah. I wasn't even there.
No, I have...
Different,
Salsa.
Different weirdo.
Salsa, I hate to tell you this. I have more than one weirdo in my life.
Ooh, poly weird.
I'm a creep and a weirdo.
Honey, I grew up at a Ren Faire. There was no choice. That's just what it is. But yeah, got to hang out with Sadius, although we really didn't get to talk as much as I would have liked to because other people were talking at me. And I had already established certain conversations I needed to finish, and it was just awkward.
And then my meter ended at the end of the show, so I had to bolt immediately.
Yeah, and then you had to bolt. But I'm sure I'll see more of you throughout the rest of this month for reasons that we can talk about later. But Reverend Matt's was great. Reverend Matt doing the Monster Mash.
Oh my God.
With whichever group he is doing them. I told him afterwards, I was like, I just want an album of you singing the Monster Mash with different groups.
Yes.
Because every time I've heard it, I'm like, this is the most incredible thing to ever happen to me. And it's glorious. And I just want that in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, but there was, I mean, he did other stuff. there were conversations, but yeah, it was pretty good. It was a music focused thing, but still very lovely.
Excellent.
So yeah, then Friday was the house party.
Mm-hmm.
There were more people than I expected to say yes to that house party. And I was like, oh God. But I think we probably had around 40 to 50 people show up. And at one point it was just so crowded. Like, we'd already talked about having a fire outside. So some people, primarily Boothies, went outside for the fire, and I was like, great, mm-hmm. I can leave them relatively unattended.
Oh God.
They will entertain themselves.
That's what I'm worried about.
Well, okay. But Joe hung out with them at the fire too.
Oh, okay. That, all right. As long as there was a responsible at wake.
I just thought through what I said.
Fuck.
Yeah. Anyway, nobody burned the place down. It was fine. But I...
Yet.
Salsa, that is not a challenge. Anyway. But the thing is, I have not had a proper house party since before the pandemic. Like, I had the housewarming. We were primarily outside. There were some people that kind of came and went. And it was a close second, too. But it wasn't a proper house party. And for my birthday, I was like, you got to be faxed. If you're sick, stay home. Thank you for doing that. And, like, other things. But I was like, I need my house party. I am an extrovert. And yeah. I am a hostess by nature, and having my house filled with my friends, full of conversation and laughter, having a good time, is just like the biggest thing for me. And that happened, and it was wonderful. And it wasn't even like I didn't invite everybody I could. It was still too many people to invite to a shindig. There were a lot of people there. But it just filled my heart so much. And I told people, I'm like, if anybody tests positive, just let me know. I'll handle the details. Nobody tested positive. Nobody has reported a positive test. So that's really... Oh, I was nervous, like, because you've got the COVID on the brain when you're doing any kind of house party type situation. Yeah. We had a wonderful time. I made yams and marshmallows and some pulled pork and a weird chicken wild rice mushroom thing. we called it a hot dish because why not?
Oh, yeah.
And then Saturday, a couple of my friends were having parties, so I went to those. And then Sunday, I did a very small group of people showed up for Up Down. And I walked in at open. And I knew the bartender. I was like, hey. And he's like, oh, my God, I haven't seen you in forever. How's it going? And he gave me a couple cups of coins and a drink on him. Which always just kind of, it makes you feel like, you know, people and they care about you, like kind of a thing, like it's kind of like a Cheers-esque type feel. and yeah, played Revolution, which if you've never played Revolution, that is a fucking game.
the Aerosmith game, right?
Yep. The Aerosmith game.
Oh, shit.
It's basically you have to go save Aerosmith, and then they send you on other adventures. And you are collecting CDs and shooting CDs while taking out bad guys of various whatever. They're just bad guys, most of them in jumpsuits.
You're collecting CDs and shooting CDs?
Yeah, but they're different kinds of CDs.
Right.
You're shooting the bad CDs, or you're shooting the shooting CDs, but you're collecting the gold CDs.
Mm-hmm. There's a difference. Very important.
The ones you're shooting are Van Halen, and
oh, there you go.
You can tell because they break up on impact.
Oh, Jesus. But yeah, okay. I'm still processing that one. God damn it. So anyway. But at the end of every round, it's such an early 90s game, you guys. At the end of every round, so like one of the first things that you do is you're going through this entertainment area where one portion is like a bar with girls dancing in cages.
Yep.
But then when you finish a mission, it scores up all of the points between the three players to find out who got the most points. And the one that gets the most points has a little mostly naked chick pop up and blow a kiss at them. That was primarily me, by the way. I got the hot chick.
Good.
Just
going to
say. But like, also, it was like so very 90s. And if that was made nowadays, it would be like kind of a thing, right? Like, oh, God. Right. But being able to place that video game in the time in which it was created, you know, the time of Aerosmith, it was mostly amusing.
When dinosaurs rocked the earth.
It's just one of those, oh, look at how quaint they were back in the day that I still existed in. Shit. Jesus. God damn it. But yeah, I did that, played some skee ball. I probably had my worst skee ball thing ever last Sunday.
Oh, okay.
No, my top was 250 points.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, James knows I can do better than that. James That's knows. Rough. Yeah. But it was still the top score of the day for our group of people. So,
well, then there's that.
So I'm still a winner to everybody else. But yeah. Otherwise hung out, smoked, played some Jenga, chilled. I did have a mac and cheese pizza slice.
Holy shit.
And paid for it later.
Yeah.
But it was amazing. And I regret nothing. my toilet might, but I regret nothing.
Just a picture of a toilet with Sarah McLachlan singing In the Arms of an Angel.
In the arms of the angel. Yeah. And those were my birthday shenanigans.
Nice.
So I still have a whole bunch of game tokens just hanging out in a bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Because my bartender friend was like, what? You're out of game tokens. Look at these things that just magically appeared in front of me. And I'm like, oh, God, you are a sweetheart. Bless you. So, yeah. Because Revolution eats game tokens.
Whoa, yeah.
Like a motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still glorious.
Oh, yeah.
And I did, James.
Mm-hmm.
I had an Uncle John's Blue Bowl in your honor.
Thank you. Thank you.
I know you couldn't make it, but
I could not.
But the drink persisted.
I'm glad.
So
that our traditions are meaningful.
Our traditions happened and are delicious. Our traditions are delicious, right. James.
Fucking
really.
Weirdly good.
Yeah. So
does Sirius know about this thing?
I don't.
Go ahead, James. I'll let you talk about it because I've been talking for a while.
So at some point, I was at Updown during.
I think this was our first Updown.
Yeah, probably. I think you're correct that it was Jenna's first Updown birthday, and I wanted to be more awake but also drunk, and so I saw that they had a blueberry cider. Uncle John's blueberry cider. Mm-hmm. And they also had blue flavored Red Bull. And Uncle John's Blue Bull is a mixture, a concoction of the two.
Okay, then.
And it did the two things that I was hoping for an amount of money that I was willing to pay. And that's all that was really required. Mm-hmm. It also tastes wild.
I love the taste. Like, I just love the taste of it.
Yeah.
Like, regardless of the uppers and downers involved, I just really like the taste of it. So.
All right.
So yeah, that was pretty much my birthday shenanigans. Nice. I am now level 43.
Woo!
I know it's not as old as some people, but it is still older than others.
10 years older than Salsa.
What?
I have tenure.
Not actually, but just
not actually.
You know. Right. Always 10 years ahead.
Yeah. We made this joke once and you never remember it. It's fine.
In that case, isn't it the not the years but the miles?
Ooh. I also have more miles.
Fuck.
No, look. Single mom.
I don't know what James is cringing at. It's 100% true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't. That's the thing. Like, some people be like, oh, you're turning 29 again. I'm like, fuck no. Jesus Christ, no, I'm not.
God, I'm so fucking glad I'm not in my 20s anymore.
I have earned every single one of these years that I am celebrating. Mm-hmm. Don't diminish my achievements. I am. And that's why I really settled on levels. I'm level 43. So. So anyway,
James.
James.
I spent the entire weekend canceling my plans because I was sick.
Yeah.
It was like my body realized that I was finally done with Fest and was like, now we can get a cold. Now we can be ill. Now we will force you to nap. We will make you stay home.
We will make you take care of your body.
Right. We will make you hydrate.
Mm. Yeah. Hydrate.
Yeah, all of that stuff that's been just put on the back burner for the last 7 weeks is like, nope, time to cash in, motherfucker.
Exactly that.
Oh, I do have one more thing. Yep. On Friday, because I took the entire week off of work, because it's both a post-fest and my birthday week, and it's just a good week to take off. So on Friday, we cleaned my entire house.
Holy shit.
And by we, I mean Joe. And also I helped. Like, Joe did a lot of the cleaning parts, where I did a lot of the organizing parts, because it's my house, so I know where I want things, kind of a thing. But yeah, like, my boyfriend gave me the best present of a clean house. Prepped and ready for people. And it was so sweet, you guys. But also now my house is clean. Like, I still have some Fest laundry to do, because weeks, not days. But yeah, no, it's lovely. It's wonderful. It's like the best post-Fest birthday present ever. So my boyfriend's really good to me.
Yeah.
No, I already almost have laundry done for this weekend.
Wow.
I don't fuck around. No, when it's time to be done, it's time to be done.
That's fair. So what I ended up doing with my weekend was folding a shitload of clean laundry that had just been waiting for several weeks during Fest.
Wow. Okay.
So probably 7 or 8 loads of laundry.
Oof.
Folding.
Yeah.
And you can see the cleanly folded baskets behind me waiting to be put away.
Uh-huh.
I put mine away.
It is impressive how well you folded that basket.
The rest of it, well, in some cases, it's an IKEA bag, so yes. Jerk ass. But the but then
sorry, pot kettle, you're black.
I mean, whoa. I'm a jerk
whoa,
ass.
Whoa.
Let's not. Whoa. Yeah. So I, wow. Jesus, man. Yeah, I ended up watching a shitload of, you know, Halloween time movies.
Oh!
Including Prey, which is the new Predator movie. And holy fuck!
Is it all right?
It's... I don't want to oversell it, because I don't want to... I don't want people going in with, like, 10 out of 10 expectations. But if your expectation is that you're going to see a good Predator movie, your expectations will be met.
Okay.
And possibly exceeded, but again, I don't want to oversell it, because I want people to like it.
All right.
I saw the partially English version, because that was just what I had available to me, but there is a version that is almost entirely in indigenous languages.
Oh.
And that's fucking awesome, and I want to watch it again. I want to watch that. Nice. So there's that. I watched the newest Ghostbusters movie, Ghostbusters Afterlife. I'm a person who enjoyed Ghostbusters 2016, partially because of the company, partially because I just felt it was a good movie. It felt right. like a good Ghostbusters movie. But I cried during Afterlife.
I can see you doing that.
For a good, like, warm, happy feelings. Yeah.
I liked Afterlife better.
Yeah.
Than the 2016. Sure. And I really wanted to like the 2016.
Same.
And there were aspects I liked about the 2016, but Afterlife mm-hmm. felt just more like cohesive.
Yes.
And yes, some of it was fan service. I'm okay with that.
Sure.
It's fine. But yeah, no, I did like Afterlife better for sure.
Yeah. And I got to show somebody the Studio Ghibli movie. Ghibli?
I always say Ghibli.
Ghibli. Jenna's always correct.
Ghibli.
The Studio Ghibli movie. Ghibli. Spirited Away. Because they were looking for a kind of a gentle, because they get real scared by stuff.
Okay.
And they also haven't watched a lot of anime stuff. So
this anime was style. Sure.
Completely new to them. But I figured that, and they were really getting into it. They were like, oh no, that's a terrible idea. Don't eat strange food that you find somewhere. They're just asking for perfect.
I don't see a problem with this.
Immediate investment. So yeah, it was a really good experience, but yeah, I got to watch a lot of stuff that I've never seen before and will be adding to my Halloween rotation. A lot of it was recommended by friends and, a lot of it felt really good to watch. So yeah. And then Gremlins is also in my, both absolutely. My Halloween and Christmas rotations.
Thank you, as it should be.
As it should be. So, yeah. Even though I had to cancel a bunch of my plans and sadly miss out on Jenna's various and sundry birthday shenanigans, I did end up making use of the time, both productively, and I also finished the script that I've been working on, and I hate what I've got. I hate it right now, so now... In the next 4 days,
Is it a first draft?
It technically, yes.
Well, there you go. Then you're.
I'm not used to having first drafts that I hate, though. I'm not used to having first drafts that I hate. Usually, because of the way that I'll just keep reading through it until I have it exactly right, and that's my first draft. What I turn in is my first draft.
Okay.
But. You know, barring extremely minor word choice and spelling shit. Yeah, it's the procrastinator's guide to first drafts.
Okay.
But yeah, my therapist even said, like, this is kind of a huge deal. You're willing to just finish the thing that you were working on, even though it wasn't perfect, with the idea that you can come back to it. And that's a huge difference.
Absolutely. So, it's so hard to get to that point.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm ever going to like this script, though.
Well.
And then Salsa's going to have to direct it. And
sucker.
Right? Yeah. So I did things.
See, the difference is I'm completely okay with putting out a piece of shit if it's your fault.
That's tough, but fair. Salsa's not going to fluff that limp dick.
Oh, God, no.
No. So.
Should we take a break then?
I was about to ask if we should. Seems the right time.
Yes, I think we'd better head.
Seems convenient.
Cool. Let's do that then.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Why? Why?
And guacamole.
Because it's delicious.
But deadly.
Delicious but deadly is my memoir.
Ooh, especially good for a sword swallower.
Right.
Yeah. No,
every backup salsa.
Ha. James, are you?
I'm James.
Okay, and I'm Jenna.
And I'm still CDS Scotchbringer.
Yay!
Because I remember how the segue thing works in the yeah, intro thing.
You're doing better than both of my fucking co-hosts.
By the way, I am Salsa Gin Bringer now, though. Mm. There's a distillery across the road from Circus World that Christo had a fantastic idea on Saturday. And after a day of doing what we did, he was just like, what we should do is go to the distillery and taste some stuff and then buy some bottles and bring them back to the cabin. And it was like, you, sir, are a genius.
Mm-hmm.
So we tasted many, many fine beverages and some less fine beverages, I will admit. They had a cask-aged rye that was real hot going down. But I'm not big on ryes in general, but this one real burnt.
Yeah, I like my ryes.
Yeah. But I did bring home a very floral.
Did it get a rise out of you?
No, it very much didn't. Which
not
is
be able to get a bourbon scent edgewise? Scent?
No. I'm not big on bourbons and ryes. It's not my thing. But I have a delicious gin that I brought home that I will inflict upon Jenna and let James have some next time.
Aww.
God damn it.
Thank you, baby.
I hate everything about my life right now.
I mean, I could make you try the new Glarus.
She's debating if I were whether taking a sip of the new Glarus and being like, yuck, hops. Or drinking a whole fifth of gin is worse.
Yeah, I think given the choice between New Glarus and gin, I'd take the New Glarus, but...
I would probably take the gin, because gin has a possibility of being okay.
No, this one's pretty good. Speaking of booze, who are we talking to? Tell us about yourself.
Well, I'm Skeetius Scotchbringer. Oh, I can't do that, but I do bring scotch to places, and so I'm Skeetius Scotchbringer.
That justifies your existence to me.
Yeah, so
justified. Stamp.
So this came about because I'm hopefully hosting on a regular basis again, but it has not worked out so well in the last couple of years. Scotch tasting podcast.
Woo!
What?
Now, I was wondering what that was going to be doing.
Yeah. So the brilliant idea that we had with this whole thing was we'd get a bunch of people together sitting around a table and drink, you know, a scotch that most of us had probably never had before and talk about it. Well,
right.
When you can't get people together to sit around a table, it makes it hard to do.
Right.
So
I have empty chairs at empty tables going through my head right now.
So there was a time just before restrictions started to get lifted that I had this brilliant idea. It's like, why don't I go on to Amazon, order a bunch of 2-ounce bottles, a couple of like baby little brain fart word thing that takes a lot of liquid into a funnel. And fill the bottle.
Got it. No, this all makes sense to me. I'm still in. Keep going.
Yep. No. I'm laughing because I followed his thought process flawlessly.
And yeah. So,
I'm right with you.
Take notes, James.
Yeah. So that was going to be a thing. Is I was going to fill these little baby bottles and drop them on people, and that's how we would do the show. And we would figure out how to record remotely, and then that all of a sudden didn't maybe need to happen, and so we recorded a few things. Which was good because we'd had a number of people who had at auction won the privilege of being on the show.
Good.
And so we managed to get them all on. One of them actually said, you know what, scheduling me is going to be hard, so we'll just call it a thing. But the other two we were able to get on.
Hmm. All right.
And then we had scheduling difficulties again.
Yeah.
And then we had a couple of shows happen, and then we had scheduling difficulties again.
Mm-hmm.
And then last month was supposed to happen and then didn't. And then this month was going to happen and can't because one of the co-hosts got COVID recently enough that maybe he'd be safe for the one day we'd have free to record this month.
Sure.
And no.
But October made the right decision. Yeah.
But
yeah.
October is a busy month. And so that's just not going to happen. The good news is if November happens, I already have the guests lined up.
Hey.
But that's if November
happens. You haven't
talked
to me about it yet, though.
Because it's not you, dear.
Ooh. I don't understand. I'm very confused right now.
Well, because I'm trying to have people on that I haven't had on before. And unfortunately, you do lose out there. And this particular person is a burlesque performer. No offense to you, Jenna, but if I'm going to have someone sitting across the table from me, one of my favorite burlesque performers is going to win out a little bit over one of my favorite people.
I've done burlesque before.
I know.
It was very amusing.
That's three of us?
That have done burlesque?
And it was very amusing?
I mean, white male privileged dancers is not burlesque.
Hmm.
Some have done burlesque, but white male privileged dancers in and of itself does not necessarily mean burlesque.
That's true.
So I feel like it depends on the definition of the individual involved.
Or the act in question.
Mm-hmm. I feel like one of mine was burlesque and one of them wasn't.
One of yours was definitely burlesque and it was amazing.
I feel like Salsa's, at least one of Salsa's was absolutely burlesque.
Yes. I seem to recall that one. And then I also seem to recall a former co-host of the show doing something that I would just as soon forget.
Why did I start doing that show?
His stage name for it was great, though. I did appreciate.
Thank you. I came up with it.
Yes. Excellent. You take all of the credit for that.
Absolutely.
Yes. Mm-hmm. No, those were good times.
Mm-hmm.
I have everything is triggering a lyrical response in my brain right now.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Sidious, you should talk some more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Else are you involved in that might be taking place this month?
Well, I mean, the reason I'm so busy in October is there's this little thing called the Twin Cities Horror Festival.
Never heard of it.
It's in Klingon.
Mm.
God damn it.
And this will be the third festival, I believe, in which I have been on the board.
Ooh.
Nice.
So
I may have heard of the board before. Somebody keeps talking about it.
God damn it.
I can never remember who, though. I'm too busy cooking onions.
God damn it. All right, is there garlic? God damn it, Salsa, is there garlic involved?
Asking the important questions.
Is there garlic involved? I don't know the last time I cooked a meal that didn't have garlic involved.
I'm just saying, I need to make sure that is a very specific point in this.
I felt that was a given, but I understand the need to ask. So
and all of his meals have salsa because he's not good with a grater.
Did not get that.
I mean,
moving on. So anyway,
I followed it, and I'm not eating anything he cooks.
No, you're lost.
Okay. You're right. You're not.
No.
Oh, that's great.
No, that's fine.
That's not sanitary at all.
So yeah, the Horror Fest is gonna be running the 20th through the 30th, and there's going to be a bunch of different shows. I know that Jenna listed them off last time, so
I really did.
I am deeply looking forward to seeing part three of the Cold Hearts trilogy about Poe. That is probably the show that excites me most because I've been there for the other two.
Sure.
And obviously seeing Reverend Matt do his thing is
always
a good time.
Always.
And I believe the Gilliman thing is the creature of the from the Black Lagoon, but may also involve some Lovecraft stuff.
Okay.
Because Gilman is the name of the creature in that.
Is it? Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
I just remember like the like in Innsmouth, the like shop, the hotel manager, whatever it is named.
Frog people.
Gilman. Yeah.
And right. The frog people. Yeah.
Irving Gilman.
Yep. So, I mean, it's very likely it's going to be more than just the creature, because I don't know that the creature could sustain a full... Well, I mean, it's Matt, so he could make it work, but I'm not sure it would sustain a full show. I do know that I've seen a presentation where he had a lot of Gilman stuff before that was preceded by a presentation from a customer acquaintance of mine who actually talked about the person who was in the Gilman suit and the Gilman suit itself in that movie. The original Universal. That was a very interesting talk. Yeah.
So, okay. So you've been on the board for a few years now.
Yep.
Tell me about what you do on the board. What is a day in the life of a board member that's not me, who's just starting out with the
board? Sure. Well, so the first couple of years I was in a unassigned, you know, just general board member at large position.
As an aside, I love being a board member at large because I am not large at all, and it amuses me.
Contrary to many of the things that I've said.
Basically, at that stage, your requested role is to help make decisions regarding the festival during certain board meetings, and then during events is to fulfill some sort of volunteer position where possible, and just basically be a host of the festival. So, the last couple of years, I've mostly worked either the merch table or been one of the house ushers. I have not touched box office in any way, and pray that continues. However, I am the treasurer now, so I do have to be responsible for the money in ways that I hadn't been before, which makes me a little uncomfortable, but it's something I signed up for. I'm actually presently working the taxes. To have some stuff up to speed. I've got a quarterly submission for quarter three that I still need to do. But I've got, I think, 2 weeks before any agency starts yelling at me about it. You know, there's some behind the scenes things. The treasurer is probably one of the busier jobs that's not the executive director or the artistic director. Obviously, those two have a lot of stuff. And those aren't board positions. Those are staff.
So would it be safe to say that you take care of all of the boring number stuff so that the rest of us can focus on the more fun stuff?
I don't do all of the boring number stuff. The budget is actually the executive director's problem. And not mine. So thank you, Duck. But in terms of like the back end money stuff, yes. I have to write. I write a fair number of the checks. I'm the keeper of the credit card. that sort of thing.
You buy the cups so that others can play beer pong.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I was getting at. That's what, yeah.
It's exactly the analogy I was thinking of.
I doubt that, but I'll go with it.
That old chestnut.
But yes, I am new to this position as of officially, I believe, like April-ish this year. Maybe I took it on the first of the year, but the handoff happened in April. I don't know. I haven't really been in charge of the treasury for long. Okay. This is the first year I'm doing the tax filing stuff, and so I have a lot of questions to my predecessor. But fortunately, he's been a very good sport about it, and I think I have most of what I need.
Yep.
And I will be submitting the first draft of some stuff to our actual accountant, because we do have an accountant to actually do the submissions. Because I don't want to have to do with the actual tax stuff. Ooh. I just get the numbers together because we are a nonprofit, and filing that is. I've looked at the form. I think I could maybe do it, but I'm much more comfortable handing it off to somebody else. So, right.
Having a professional do that is a much safer bet.
Yes.
You got to ask your predecessor the important questions, like what is the password to the offshore account in the Caymans?
Which I have. I'm good there. So
nice.
The Cayman Mojitos.
Ooh.
Yeah, I
actually,
I don't know.
Just as you were saying that, opened my last Cutwater lime mint rum mojito.
Ooh.
So,
I mean, I don't know why he gave me the Cayman account because you know that one he could have kept to all to himself. But you know.
Well, that's the official embezzlement account. The one in Switzerland is his own personal one.
The unofficial,
embezzlement
account. Yes,
we must keep these things in order.
But for that one, he has to convert all the money to chocolate, and that's just complicated.
Oh, yes. But chocolate, though.
I mean, if I'm going to embezzle, chocolate seems like a not terrible way to do it.
Right? Mm-hmm. I'm in.
I really don't see what the problem is here.
I'm pretty sure this is why neither of us are treasurers, Salsa. Yeah.
I lived in Switzerland. I've had Swiss chocolate. I would take the chocolate.
Yeah.
Have you tried Swiss Miss? A few of them.
Perhaps.
Okay. I don't want to know. Salsa, I don't want to know. So anyway, Sirius, bringing this back to you to try to make it less awkward somehow.
Hi, Heidi. I mean, what?
Oh, God. God damn it. My plan failed. Correct. So anyway, so you've been on the board for a few years. Did you do a lot of Twin Cities Horror Festival before that? As a
patron, yes. And that was part of where the invitation came from. I have been a regular attendee and more often than not a skeleton key holder. But that's the multi-show, all the shows pass for the Horror Festival. Since Horror Festival 4, this season is Horror Festival 11. So
a few years.
It's been a few. And obviously we had to take a season off, the season was all online. We didn't really take the season off. And then we did a mixed season last year. Mm-hmm. So this is our first full year back. So really this is going to be the first full year on site season that I've been on the board.
Okay.
And of course I did have some previous board experience from another local theater company that you've maybe heard of.
What?
That's Fearless Comedy.
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
They do a bunch of shows in Cleveland.
They're a small outfit. I don't know why you'd have heard of them, you know.
Yeah. Mm. Here or there, once or twice, maybe, in passing.
So, you know.
Oh. So then, what has the difference been for you? And I know some of this is like pandemic time, so it doesn't really translate 100%, but the difference between being a patron and being a board member, like what do things look like? Have you now glimpsed behind the gory curtain to see the sausage being made?
And also, what is the difference between being a patron and drinking Patron?
About 75 cents to the gallon.
I mean, you're not wrong. Both are scary in their own way. There are times I haven't wanted to remember nights where either was involved. But no, the Horror Fest as a general rule has not been a big difference for me in terms of being just a patron or and being someone who's is in a little bit more involved behind the scenes. But to some degree, I think that's because it was a fairly light touch behind the scenes these first couple of years.
Sure.
I'm much more involved this year, you know, doing the treasurer stuff. But the good news is, really, unless you're the executive director or the artistic director, I feel, for the most part, you mostly just get to enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
Those two roles are where 99% of the work is. Well, 95% of the numbers are hard.
Nobody's checking you on this.
Man, it's a really good thing you're not the treasurer. Yeah. Okay, both of us at the same time.
Oh no! See, money, I can keep track of. Time, fuck that. So,
See, that's where we're different.
Yeah,
so, I am a time wizard. I'm on it.
So that's the thing. And really the other person who has a lot of work to do, of course, is marketing. And sure. I don't want to snooze on that.
And marketing is such an unsung hero overall.
Oh, always is. And
they've been doing a phenomenal job with it.
Yes. And that was another role that was handed off this year. So basically we've got someone doing a first year festival turn in the head of marketing for us. So It's a great group of people. The board has basically just doubled in size recently. The half that has been around for a while, I've worked with for a couple of years now. The new half, I know one of the people, but the others are kind of strangers.
You really know that person, though.
Well, I mean, acquainted for like 20 years, but I don't know about know them.
Right? Does anyone really know anyone? Okay. Because you and I met back in the college years.
Correct.
Different colleges, but same friend group type situation.
Yes, there was some overlap. And Jessa was babe in arms for sure.
Yes.
Not even a year old, as I recall.
Not even a year. You are correct. You've known Jessa longer than just about anybody else involved in her life. So well done. But yeah, so like in ways that I've known you before, like I remember meeting you and being like, okay, he's a weird dude. I know a lot of weird dudes, so this doesn't really faze me.
Nope.
Rocky Horror Picture Show was an association.
Yep.
And,
absolutely was.
And yeah, like within that, our friend group and those types of people, I was like, all right. So this is just this particular circle.
Yep.
Fun.
I am this particular Venn diagram of hell for you.
I have many. Yes.
Overlapping seventh and ninth circles.
Something like that.
Yeah. You would think that would just be eight, but no, it's outside of eight entirely. Yeah. All right. So this year you've already talked about a little bit of what you're excited for.
Mm-hmm.
I know one of the things that I am excited for, but also preparing myself to be uncomfortable for is Duck Washington's show.
Yes. Mm.
All My White Darlings.
Mm-hmm.
I expect that to come with a whole barrage of check your privilege type stuff, honestly. Or just different perception, subculture, various things like that. Is there anything? And I expect to be uncomfortable, but in a way that will be good, because one of the things Duck does is just he conveys things in an accessible way, which sounds weird for a horror show, but if anybody can meet that, I think it's Duck. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Well, the extra exciting thing is the production company that is doing Duck's show.
That's true. Continue.
So Dangerous Productions is the company. And Dangerous has a reputation with the Horror Festival as being the gory show. They love their stage blood. I believe every show of theirs I have ever seen, when you first walk in and sit down, the first thing you see on stage is the huge tarp. Because the entire stage is tarped because they need it.
Well, and so they've done shows at the Fringe.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes the same shows or they've done whatever.
A rework of, yeah.
I think the first one I saw was Itch.
Itch.
I was going to ask if that was the same company.
That's the same company.
Fuck. Yes.
Yes.
Yep, absolutely is.
So, yeah, I'm expecting this to be challenging, but also just gruesome on some level.
Mm-hmm.
And if my expectations are not met, I will write a strongly worded letter to the board.
I don't know how well those yahoos will hear it, but you know.
Yeah, whatever. So is there something that you're looking to that you think might challenge you or delight you or something outside of what you've already discussed?
So here's the way I have chosen to experience the Horror Festival.
Mm-hmm.
I try to know as little about stuff going in as possible because I don't want to have any expectations beyond I'm going to see some horror theater. I want to be surprised as to what's coming. I want to not know. I don't want to have too much of a sense of knowing what's going to happen because that takes away some of the horror to me.
Sure. I think that's fair.
Now, again, having seen several of these production companies before, and this being the third show of a series by the Cold Hearts, where I've seen the first two, there was Edgar Allan and Eddie Poe. I know what those two shows were, so I have a sense of the sort of thing that the third show will be, but I have no idea what specifically the third show will be. And I'm trying to maintain that sort of a level of knowledge. I don't want to know too much.
Right.
I've never been on the selection committee, the curation committee for the festival. So.
Sure. And that's important to note. The board does not select the people. Yep. There is a committee that is compiled that does all of that work. We're kind of as much in the dark as you are.
I do know there is, for myself, a show that does not speak to my heart. And therefore, I don't know that I will bother to watch it as often as the other shows. I will certainly watch it.
Okay.
Right. I make a point to see every show.
Absolutely.
But there's one show that I know will it's not my cup of tea. And so if I miss it entirely, I won't feel too bad. But my intention is to catch every show at least once. But otherwise, probably be living at the merch booth a lot of the time just because I'm comfortable behind a desk and taking requests for, you know, merchandise and or potentially concessions this year.
Right.
So
potentially concessions is the name of my. I don't know which cover band.
Usher.
Ooh.
Ooh, no, that's a good call. That's a real good call.
By the way, I was going to say if you're ushering for the house and you stumble, is that a Poe reference?
Well, only if the house enough, falls. The Cold Hearts are doing the Edgar Perry Poe whatever thing that they're doing. Mm-hmm. So we've already talked about some of this.
Right.
So it's right there. The possibility is there.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to talk about, there's one other group. So I actually actively have not gone to the Horror Festival as much as I could have in the past. Like I would go to see a few shows. I used to get the Four Horsemen pass, which was like four or five shows. My exposure to Horror Festival has been a bit more limited, I'm going to say, than Sidious's. However, there's one show that is being produced by Special Winlet and the Wine and Sheet Outfit.
Fuck yes.
Which is two production groups that is, they have always done incredible fucking work.
Yes.
Wine and Sheet Outfit, I met at Fringe, and everything they have done there has been incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Special Winlet, I don't remember meeting them. I just remember everything being awesome, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, of all the years of my watching stuff, Special Winlet definitely has one of my top five shows.
Oh, really? Which one?
Yeah, The Fae.
So anyway, they are collaborating together this year on a show called Stabby Stab Stab.
Mm-hmm.
And
feels like a title that would appeal to you.
What? Me specifically? Kind of, maybe.
Hmm.
And so I'm gonna read the actual thing here. Two preteens are compelled to serve a modern monster, an eyeless watcher whose price for loyalty is blood. In the age of electronic loneliness, how far would you go for friendship? Stabby Stab Stab examines recent true life happenings in Waukesha, Wisconsin. I don't know how to sell that show to you any better. Mm-hmm. Two incredible production companies doing something on that theme just sounds incredible to me. And I'm super excited to see what happens with that. Whatever it is, I just know it's going to be amazing because they do amazing work. But
now the trick with that show is that they are only playing the first half of the festival.
True.
Oh.
Yeah, you should talk about that some more, Sadius.
So one of the things that came out of the curation and the setup for this year was that two of the companies are basically splitting what would be the time slot that one show would have. And I cannot speak as to the reasons for that, because I was not part of the planning. I was not part of the committee. I just know that it's happening. And so we will have Stabby Stab Stab for the first half, and a different show for the second half.
Is that the Haunted Basement show?
I believe that it is, yes.
Yeah, so Haunted Basement is actually doing a show too.
Fuck yes.
I have a friend who's in it, and he says, I don't think this is going to be everybody's cup of tea. And I'm like, my friend, Haunted Basement is not everybody's cup of tea. I personally have never been a Haunted Basement because that whole we get to touch you waiver thing, not my deal.
Yep.
However, I am super excited to see what it is that they come up with on a stage rather than like in a haunt, right? Mm-hmm. And I want to see what happens with that.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, but they are taking the second half of that. So that means you're going to have to show up at least twice, y'all. I think that's what this comes down to. Ted's Talk. That's what it's called. So, yeah, I don't know, man. Like it sounds like it's going to be possibly gory, which I'm fine with that. Again, see earlier conversation is on itch and terps. Suggested age is 17 and up. You should know that before going to that one.
Yeah, there have been a few age recommended shows that have played at the Horror Festival over time.
Mm. Oh, wait, let me give you the list of warnings. Are you ready?
Oh, God.
Sudden loud noises, flashing lights, gore, profanity, touch, bodily fluids, nudity, pregnancy, and blood. Oh, buddy, that could be hefty and fucking intense. So, if you're not in for profanity, what are you doing listening to this podcast? Mm-hmm. But also, this show might not be for you.
I'm in it. That's what I'm here for.
Oh, sucker.
I mean, that's a valid statement.
Damn it. Yeah.
Cedius, you got anything else you want to say about the Twin Cities Horror Festival or life in general?
I mean, I would recommend the Twin Cities Horror Festival. I'm not sure I would recommend life in general. So if you have to pick one, I'd go to the Twin Cities Horror Festival.
Shit.
Yes.
But yeah, I don't really have anything more to say other than you absolutely should go, even if horror isn't your bag. I mean, horror was a genre that was not something that I thought I was interested in, and I still don't watch a lot of horror movies. Most of them don't have a lot of appeal for me. Sure. But since I have taken up watching horror theater, that's grown a little bit.
Grown.
I was about to say, unlike James.
Well. But I mean, there's certain genres of horror that I'm still onto. Like torture porn will never be my thing. But at the same time, the amount of like bodily harm, gore that Dangerous manages to pull off on stage, it can squig you out. It is visceral.
Yes.
Literally.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like. In one past show, someone's like bit a finger off, and it looked like they bit their finger off. Another person basically pulled out the tendon in their wrist.
Shit.
Yeah. Okay. Warnings on this episode.
Yeah, it can be. Yeah. It can be a thing. So
yeah,
and it's fascinating to watch for me. The if the gore starts to be too much, I go, "What's the stagecraft of this? How do they do it?" And then my brain immediately pops out of the gore.
You start focusing on the technical aspects of it.
Right.
And so if it ever gets too much, I can just flip that toggle in my brain, and then it's okay.
How nice for you.
See, my favorite is more of the psychological stuff.
Yes, I prefer that.
Oh my God, give me The Ring. I was just talking with Joe earlier about Blair Witch Project.
Oh, yeah.
Which was... to its credit, the first of what it did, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, that one actually, like, it's not even like incredible story per se, but it fucked me up for a bit.
Yeah.
Mostly because I had a tree right outside my window that kept scratching at my window over the course of the night.
So I have a fun story with Blair Witch for myself, actually.
Oh, really?
So when it was in theaters, I did catch it there, but I went as an after party from Ground Zero.
Oh, fuck.
So it was like 2:30, 2:45 in the morning when we arrived at the theater. We started playing it at 3 in the morning.
Okay.
So that was an extra level of this movie.
I see.
Yeah. And we were all still in our clubbing clothes. And yeah, it was...
fuck.
Yeah. When we walked out, it's like, there was not enough popcorn for this.
But there's also horror music that happens. Like, one of my favorite things about horror is that it is such a broad genre.
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We have horror comedy, we have horror music, we have... horror psychology, we have horror gore. It's all there.
Mm-hmm.
It's all there. So.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see if there's any particular theme that runs through the productions this year, as there have been in the past. There was a year, I want to say it was either year 4 or year 5, where there was a lot of dark rooms, lots of flashlights.
Hmm.
And that actually produced one of the more interesting stagecraft shows that I've seen at the horror festival, where basically 50% plus of the show in theory took place underwater. Uh-huh. And so you had two people stage ninja-ing a third person that was, like, effectively swimming for a good piece of the show.
That's impressive.
They were, like, wreck diving, trying to find their father or something. I don't remember exactly the story, but it was called Deep Dive. And, yeah, the stagecraft of it and the fluidity of the movement of those people holding up the third person that you could see, and them having the flashlight and being controlled basically as the diving helmet, as all that was the stage lighting, was pretty fantastic.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it was super cool to watch.
Mm-hmm. No, I love what people come up with.
Absolutely. Should we maybe take a break?
Yeah, I could use a drink.
I could, after all of that horror talk, I could use a moment.
They got you that, Randy, huh?
I'll be back.
I don't kink shame. All right, we're going to take a break.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
No, you missed it, but like you didn't, but you did.
Cool.
Okay.
I'm okay with that.
It's apropos.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
God damn it. I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
I'm the Scotch Bringer.
Yay! Ooh. We did it.
And it's time for a Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from...
Great.
There we go. Shot the wad a little early, but yes.
Yeah, he got a little excited.
It's my move. I'm sorry.
I feel bad for other people, not us, but okay.
Accurate.
Continue. Yeah.
So, yes, I have crafted a Fast Five and am delivering it virtually.
Which means if I can just interrupt for a second of deliciousness, that means gray. If you submitted a Fast Five, you did not do so in person or virtually. Therefore, you are going to have to wait just a little bit longer. And I don't mean that to sound mean or anything. I mean, the rules are clearly stated.
This is long-standing
rules.
And every show I've been on, I think, since I started doing this with y'all, I've brought my own Fast Five. So it's
so it's not you, Gray.
No, the precedent has been set.
I do want to say I am still delighted by this turn of events.
I'm happy I could delight you. Belated birthday present.
Yay! Birthday!
Well, there we go.
Awesome. All right. Anyway, okay. I'm good.
So, question number one. Planet or caveman?
Ooh.
I prefer sci-fi romances to historical romances, so I'm going to go planet.
Never seen Planet Caveman, but I have seen Forbidden Planet.
I do want to see Planet Caveman now. Like that's
so this that's is on my list. Yeah, I'm thinking future versus past.
Right.
I think I'm going to go Caveman.
Really?
Yeah, well, I'm probably not going to be happy with my answer, but I'm hedging my bet that there's a possibility it could be what I'm thinking of, and so I'm going I'm kind of shooting from the hip here and going with caveman, hoping that I'm not horribly disappointed.
I'm trying to think. There are a couple of actors who have played both space persons and also cave persons.
But what about space cave persons?
Weirdly, that happens.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Like the Phantom Planet had... Was it the Phantom Planet that had space cave people?
I mean, Star Trek has had plenty of space cave people.
Star Trek does a lot.
Yeah. Huh. Well, I think I'm going to go planet. Because I think the breadth of stories that can be told is much, much more far-reaching, both literally and metaphorically.
Okay, everybody's got their answer in?
Mm-hmm.
I think for myself, this is probably the hardest question for myself of mine. Mm. I think I'm going to go planet.
All right.
Okay, question two. DuckTales or Beavis and Butthead?
DuckTales. After school watching, DuckTales.
DuckTales.
DuckTales. I never actually really got into Beavis and Butthead.
Neither did I. I never found them funny.
I had friends who were super into it.
They had their moments. There were definite moments. There was one bit I remember specifically where the two of them are in Spanish class and the teacher's getting really frustrated with them not paying attention or doing anything. And he's like, look, if you can say one word of Spanish that you have learned in my class, I won't immediately kick you out. And they're both like, chorizo, burrito, chimichanga, like listing these various things off. And then Beavis goes, spaghetti. And
God damn it.
And the teacher gets frustrated and he goes, you two have been sitting in my class all year, and the only Spanish you know is from Taco Bell. And not even Beavis can get that right. And I'm just like, okay, that's amusing. Like they had, there were some nice nuggets, I think, in Beavis and Butthead. But the overall show didn't hold appeal for me. Whereas DuckTales,
Yeah.
Ooh.
Fucking, oh my God. I watched the old one. I watched the new one. I loved all of it. I'm in.
Like, I have to give Beavis and Butthead props for giving us Daria.
Oh,
and Daria King of the Hill.
Because, well, King of the Hole was also shit. But Daria was good.
Hmm. I loved Daria. Daria and Mission Hill were probably my favorites of the MTV block. I really enjoyed King of the Hill.
And I'm going to put it in between the two, actually. Like, King of the Hill had more moments for me. And there were even some through threads that I enjoyed. But, like, it didn't catch me.
It was just a bunch of racist hillbillies being racist hillbillies. There's no humor for me in that.
Have you seen Who I'm Dating?
Yes.
That.
I'm just gonna put that one out there.
Well, I will say this amuses me greatly, and we will have much discussion when we come to the question. But I will be the odd one out, and I am saying Beavis.
Okay.
Question three: Danger Mouse.
Wait for it.
Sorry.
He's new to the dings.
No, I've forgotten the dings. I was okay with the first question. I overrode a little on the second. I've been getting faster and faster because that's what I do.
Because that's the five.
So, Danger Mouse or The Tick?
Oh, The Tick.
The Tick.
The Tick.
Yep. All three iterations of The Tick.
Yep.
Danger Mouse is what has my childhood, though. God damn it. I think, if I'm going to be real honest with myself, I preferred The Tick, but only just a little bit more. Danger Mouse was, in fact, glorious.
I think I will also go with The Tick.
All right.
This was the second most hard question for me.
All right.
As far as which one is a better lampooning of their source material, I still have to go with the tick.
Mm.
Like if that's the question, yeah.
No, sure. Well, and we will
find out.
Question four: Pirates of Dark Water or Invader Zim?
Not familiar with the first, but I watched the fuck out of the second.
Uh-huh. Same, actually.
And this was my fear with this one, but I was hoping that maybe
James Bond film.
Having watched both, I still got to go with Invader Zim, and especially Invader Zim comes from such strong, weird stock of Jonan Vasquez.
Jonan Vasquez, yeah.
Yeah,
and I've got to be honest. I didn't watch that much Invader Zim, but it's definitely a lot more of that than whatever the first one was. So
Pirates of Dark Water.
I own the first two Zim DVDs. So
Jesus Christ! All right,
I think I own all three of the Zim DVDs. Well, if all three was the full set that I was aware of. And then I also own Pirates of Dark Water on DVD. So
Jesus, all right.
Yeah.
Your nerd runs strong.
It does, and my answer is Pirates of Dark Water.
All right,
and
we'll get into that a little bit more than
I have to Google it later.
Exactly.
Right.
And then question five: Snorks or Smurfs?
Smurfs.
Oh.
I feel like I remember Norks. I can't place it, though.
I watched some of Snorks, but I watched the absolute shit out of Smurfs. Constantly.
I mean, it was underwater Smurfs is really what it boiled down to.
Sure.
But
I have like flashes of Snorks, but like I don't have anything concrete, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I'm sure sense, I yeah. watched it. But yeah, I guess I got to go Smurfs, like just because I can remember any of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I did watch the Snorks and I enjoyed the Snorks.
Well, I feel like I enjoyed the Snorks too. I just can't remember a goddamn
sure. thing. But I also enjoyed the Smurfs. this is a tough one.
How dare
boy,
you.
So many who had the better villain?
Who had better toys?
Oh, the Smurfs is going to win that one.
Well, when you got the money, you got the toys.
Exactly.
First, you get the money.
But I had a jigsaw puzzle of the Smurfs, though.
Oh man, I miss jigsaw puzzles.
I went on a Target run today, and I have a jigsaw puzzle that is Maleficent as described through the Villainous board game. There was also an Ursula puzzle that I thought about getting, but the Maleficent one is definitely the one that speaks to me.
I think I've finally gotten back to the point where I can do jigsaw puzzles again, so I will be looking for donations, contributions. And whatnot.
I'm gonna come down just because of sheer cultural significance and awareness. I'm gonna come down on the side of the Smurfs, I think.
Sure.
I'm also Smurfs on this one.
Yeah. Given the choice between Smurfs and Fraggles, Fraggles. Given the choice between Snorks and Fraggles, Fraggles. Shit. But given the choice between Smurfs and Snorks, Smurfs.
Absolute straw man that James just, you know, brought up for no reason.
A third.
James, I do have a bunch of Fraggles on CD, if that needs to be a thing.
I do own a bunch of Fraggles DVDs as well.
I feel I might have had season one on DVD. That was one I didn't dig in too deep.
I'm not sure how many I have, but I know I have at least one.
There's an episode of Defunctland entirely about Fraggles, and it's very good.
Really?
Yeah.
We have greater than or equal to 3 DVDs for Fraggle Rock.
There we go. Oh. Well, and they're all kind of the same premise, a little bit. But, Yeah.
I mean, I felt like that's where you were going with it. But yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway. Okay. That is the answers. Now, the questions.
Okay. What?
Question number one. Planet or Caveman, which captain has the more irritating entrance catchphrase?
Oh, shit.
Captain Planet.
What is Captain Caveman's catchphrase?
Captain Caveman!
And then a giant club.
Yeah.
What was Captain Planet?
Which wasn't annoying to me at all.
By your powers combined, I am Captain Planet.
All right.
Yeah, it was just so pompous.
Yep, and that's exactly why Planet is my answer.
Gotcha. I think I'd have to go Caveman. Because I feel like by your powers combined is at least inclusive of other people.
Of the people with the rings. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But like what I'm remembering of the caveman thing, I was just like, why do you keep going? Okay. Fuck. What?
It all keeps going because it was the Hanna-Barbera thing and they just never stop.
Yeah. Right. I don't like it. I mean,
Captain Caveman was kind of the same as El Kabong or
Hong Kong Fui,
like a thousand other.
It was a George of the Jungle type thing for me, you know.
Issue. Yeah. Oh my god,
that was somehow different from George of the Jungle,
right?
Yeah, both are super irritating to me as. On a nostalgia bend, like I said, Planet is the one that irritates me, I think, a little bit more in my head. Because although if I watched episodes back to back to back, I would probably get more irritated at Caveman faster.
Yeah.
See, yeah. I didn't find Captain Caveman annoying at all. I loved every minute of it.
See, when I was 10, that shout was extra funny. But as an adult, I would probably be like, okay, nope, that's fine.
Oh, as an adult. Oh, that does change it. No, I'm still going to be annoyed by the Captain Planet one.
Yeah, I think I am too.
Nope, I'm going Caveman.
Question two, DuckTales or Beavis and Butthead, which had the better spinoff?
Oh, yep. Daria. Damn.
Was Daria Mike Judge, though?
Yep.
Daria was Mike Judge. Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
And DuckTales gave us Darkwing Duck and not quite Tailspin. Like, Tailspin's in the same universe, we know, but there's a lot of that in the new DuckTales.
Right. But
originally, there wasn't a lot of crossover between the two.
So it was an actual spinoff, though.
Right. So on a technical level, they said in 2016, because I happened to research this.
Sure.
Technically, right. Darkwing Duck is an alternate universe. Officially.
Oh. Okay.
But technically there was also no reason it couldn't have been canon. There wasn't anything that truly stopped it from being potentially a shared universe, other than you never really saw the who were the red shirted bandits in DuckTales?
The hounds.
The Beagle Boys?
Yeah.
I don't think they existed in Darkwing, and had it been a shared universe, you would have thought they would, but...
Sure.
A likelihood, at least. Yeah.
This is Launchpad being the crossover character. I mean, it was technically nothing that stopped it from being the same universe, but it also... Right. Apparently, according to the people who made it officially, it's an alternate universe.
So when we're talking about spin-offs for DuckTales, what exactly are we talking about then?
No, Darkwing Duck is the spin-off in question that I had in mind as far as the purpose of the question. Because from a shared universe, Daria is more of a shared universe with Beavis and Buttheads than Darkwing Duck is of DuckTales. But both shows grew out of the other, and that's what I mean by spin-off.
Sure, I just wanted to make sure that we were all on the same page as to what we were talking about.
Then I guess King of the Hill wouldn't be a spin-off from Beavis and Butthead, even though he's based on the neighbor off in whose shed they were whacking. It's still not... That guy isn't Hank Hill.
Right.
Y'all know way too much about this shit, man. Like,
the he's just got the same voice.
Line yeah. is just not my jam. With the exception either. Of Daria, which was amazing.
Yeah, I love Daria.
And as it happens, the thing that my girlfriend, who she and I actually just had our 3-year anniversary, although we didn't really get together to do anything for it, because our one day a week was 2 days after the official day, and unfortunately, right. I also have been suffering from some illness, and so we had to call it off because the COVID test that I took, I have still not gotten a response for, and it's supposed to be a 24 to 48 hour response, but I took it Wednesday. I'm a little irritated.
Whoops.
So yeah, I think it's just probably gotten lost in the system, and I'm not
yeah,
that
it, had it, an accidentally had a wrong digit for your phone number or something.
But I mean, I'm 100% positive that it's not COVID. It's my usual asthma nonsense based on how it's progressed
and the seasonal stuff and all of that.
But still, better safe than sorry.
And so, unfortunately, we had to miss our weekend. However, we are going to try to get together some time this weekend. We might go to the Trilon to see Suspiria. We haven't decided or not.
Oh.
But that's a possibility. Following Suspiria on Friday night, and unfortunately, this crosses over with her work hours, so we can't stay for it. And this one I wanted to see is Phantom of the Paradise.
Huh.
But anyway.
As much as Daria is a fantastic show, I think I'm going to stick with DuckTales.
I think I'm also going to stick with DuckTales.
I think just by sheer volume, I watched a shitload more Darkwing Duck. And it went to really dark, weird places.
It definitely did.
Yeah. So,
and I'm okay with that.
I think I have to go with DuckTales.
I enjoy both shows, but Daria is definitely my jam. So,
Yeah, no, Daria is real good.
Yeah. Question the third: Danger Mouse or The Tick? James, you had this one. Which is the better genre parody?
Ah,
yeah, it's The Tick.
See, I think Danger Mouse does a good job of playing kind of the get smart angle, but
no shade on Danger Mouse.
Yeah, it's still playing it very close to the center of the genre.
Mm-hmm.
In a very get smart kind of way, or an Inspector Gadget kind of way. But Tick is just fucking outlandish.
Off the wall. And that was the alternate. It was going to be Danger Mouse or Inspector Gadget, which was the better parody of that genre versus overall genre parody. But
Inspector Gadget would have been my answer for probably that, honestly. Gadget.
Danger Mouse, again, no shade on Danger Mouse. It was top of the game, but
it was great.
But when you're going up against The Tick, that's just
Mm-hmm.
And I love both. I have both on DVD, both Danger Mouse and The Tick cartoon. So, question four: Pirates of Dark Water or Invader Zim? For which would you rather see? I don't know why I have the four there. Which would you rather see rebooted as a live action series?
Oh,
live action. I don't know the first one.
So, Pirates of Dark Water.
And it's possible I've seen it. I just don't know.
So it's a fantasy adventure series set on a planet that is basically the antithesis of Dune, where it's mostly ocean and a couple of islands.
Okay. It's Waterworld.
Yeah, it's Waterworld, but in addition to that, so what the Dark Water is basically there's this cursed water that when it takes over, you can't go through it. It can grow tendrils and reach out, and it'll take you and it'll drown you. So basically, the planet is actively fighting against itself, and so the story is them trying to figure out what it is and how to stop it. Mm-hmm. You've got your lead character who's a princeling who is trying to save the world. He's got a veteran pirate as his first mate, and then they've got a sorceress companion. Mm. She's a geomancer. Basically, it means she's a druid, effectively, in terms of stuff. And then they've got a flying creature, a sentient flying creature companion that's basically the 3PO of the party.
Right.
Frequently in danger, complains about a lot of things.
This is approximately what I remember of it.
Yeah.
I would have to go with that.
Yeah, that sounds like it would translate to live action better.
Yeah, I think Invader Zim in live action would not be
good. Agreed.
Yeah. Because I have to say probably half of the joy of Invader Zim is the completely bonkers art style.
Yeah, exactly. The dinginess of the world.
The red and stinky close-ups of shit.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And just how dirty and filthy everything is. And if you tried to put that in real life, it would just look dirty and gross.
And kind of sad.
It just wouldn't be. And the frenetic alien running around as a live, and it just wouldn't it wouldn't be as cute. It wouldn't be that juxtaposition of cute and gross. Yep.
I was gonna say
Gurr would be the hardest thing to make work right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gurr would never be
Vasquez's as good. Use of the baby proportions.
Yeah.
Of like big head, big eyes, but I'm also making it weird and gross.
Yeah.
Like Salsa said, I think would be so funny.
So I had an alternate for Invader Zim that I decided against just because it would be way too much CGI and it would really not work in a live action. But assume it was instead of Invader Zim was Gargoyles.
Oh, I would watch the shit out of that.
1,000% every day. 100. I'd fucking live in that theater.
Especially if we could get the original voices.
Oh absolutely. Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck no, absolutely. 100%.
Half the cast of Star Trek and Keith David. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
No. So the difficulty was I pulled up a list of like 80s and early 90s cartoons and I said, okay, what can I do? Okay, The Tick has a live action one, Inspector Gadget has a live action, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles has a live action. Like I was like, what can I use to go against Pirates of Darkwater?
Right.
And there was nothing. All right, so the last one, Snorks or Smurfs, and this is the one that twists off compared to everything else.
Oh.
Where would you prefer to spend your time off? A beach or a forest?
Okay.
Yes.
Forest.
The North Shore, which has a little bit of both.
Oh, yeah. It's...
Yeah. That's exactly what was going through my head. Do I consider
I'm kind of assuming when he says beach, though, he means like warm, sunny beach.
Warm, sunny, sand beach.
In deference to the fact that we live in Minnesota and that's less accessible, I was willing to accept the North Shore as beach.
So. Oh, okay. Well, in that case, both.
I love being able to hike in the woods, and I love my North Shore. Like, all beaches are created equal, and the North Shore has a very specific aspect to it.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to have to go beach if we're including the North Shore, just because North Shore. But the thing is, the North Shore has trees right over the fuck there, so...
Yeah.
Right, literally. Yeah, but it's not the North Shore. Trees.
Right there.
It's the North Shore.
Yeah.
All right, so to put it in Minnesotan, North Shore or Itasca?
North Shore.
North Shore.
Absolutely, 100%.
Yep.
Well, yeah, I'm Itasca, so I'm definitely forest.
I'm really split between the two. They're both real good. God,
I'm not going to turn down Itasca, but if you ask me to choose between the two, I'm going North Shore.
Yeah, me, I would do what I'm doing now and equivocate a lot.
Yeah. Being forced to choose between the two, I'd have to say the beach as long as the North Shore is an option.
Right. Yep.
Because as much as I have gone camping in the trees and things like that, one of the things that I look forward to the most about those camping trips is sitting on the stony beach of the North Shore. With the moon glinting off the water and having a bonfire with my friends.
Oh my God, yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, and so that was the theme of Saturday cartoons.
I can't choose. I'm trying. I'm just gonna have to stick with the one I have because I can't decide.
I feel like that was a good theme. Thank you.
That was a very good theme, and
I wanted more of them to be more akin to the Smurfs question that was less like direct things about the properties.
Right. Sure.
Because that's mostly what I've done. And looking at Fast Fives I've done in the past, like I still have the list of the candies that were a theme. That we did years ago, and it was Halloween.
Yeah,
it was like,
this is why all of mine are super fucking squee hunky esoteric.
Yeah.
I took a page out of your book.
I'm absolutely baffled as to what that adjective means, but I'm going to move past it.
I like it. I think it's
you would like to send in a Fast Five. That's not an adjective, James. Jesus fucking Christ. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send go to the website, aonpodcast.com. It's been a long fucking weekend. Fuck you all. Uh-huh. It's been a long, long time. Go to the website.
Send an email to Salsa.
aonpodcast.com.
Send 10 emails click on to
the,
Salsa.
Click on, just do the thing.
Do the thing.
Anybody got anything to plug
or
email.
No shout out? Who wants shout to shout out? Something out?
I have to give a shout out to my boyfriend because he was wonderful to me last week. And he made sure that even when I was stressing out, he was like, nah, we got this. We got this. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. And he just did everything possible to make sure I had a wonderful birthday week. So,
yeah.
I try not to shout out my boyfriend all the time because I probably could, but he fucking earned it this week. God damn it. Also, bonus shout out to all of my friends that I got to see in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
It just all contributed to my birthday week experience. So thank you for that.
My shout out is similar but opposite. My thanks and adoration to all of the people with whom I had plans this last weekend. And thank you for understanding that my body just gave up and I couldn't be there.
You're welcome, James.
Canceled birthday visits, canceled dinners, canceled dates, canceled fucking everything in order to recover. So.
Cancel culture's gotten way out of hand.
Oh my god. Oh my fucking god. Salsa, you're dismissed.
Cool, bye.
Wait, nope. I need you to push the buttons.
Ah, god damn it. Okay.
Okay, sucker.
He can be replaced, but he can't be replaced.
He can't be immediately replaced.
That's the one.
Okay. But you can always be replaced.
He's like a vacuum tube.
This is Jenna's podcast.
Absolutely.
Yes, of course.
Well, that reminds me, I have some new designs I want to put in for the t-shirts.
Ooh.
Okay. We'll talk later. I'm going to give my shout out to Baraboo, Wisconsin, because it's where the Ringling Brothers created the Ringling Brothers Circus, and that's pretty fucking cool. And it's where Circus World is now, which is pretty fucking cool. Mm-hmm. And it's where I get to perform at the end of the year, which is pretty fucking cool. Mm-hmm. And thank you for being there and letting me perform there. And
yeah,
I kind of lost my train of thought there for a second, but yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Sure. Woohoo Hippodrome.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
Pretty much, yeah. Thank you. That is actually a great summation.
Yeah, I think my shout-out is going to be to my fellow board members at the Twin Cities Horror Festival for working with me to help run a festival that I have deeply enjoyed for the number of years I've been going now, and also to all the artists that will be putting on shows there shortly.
Yes, absolutely.
I'll accept one board member. You know who you are and what you did.
Man, I've gotten so many shout outs this round of shout outs. I don't even know what to do with all of this. Yes, I do. You're welcome.
It's never. Jenna is Baraboo. Who knew?
I am.
Jenna's unbearable.
Oh, God.
She can sometimes be a bugaboo, that's for sure.
Hi.
Does anybody
say boo-hoo? Accurate.
Does anybody have a plug? Yeah.
I feel like CDS and I just did.
May have already talked about it.
But I will say Twin Cities Horror Festival starts on October 20th. I believe we have some skeleton keys left.
Last I checked, I think we were sold out, actually.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, because last I heard we had a couple, so...
Unless more got added, I'm fairly certain Duck said we are actually now sold out of the skeleton keys. One of the two.
Go to the website.
Said there were a couple. Yeah. Anyway, go to the website, see if you can get a skeleton key, because you definitely want one if you can have it. If not, sorry, you missed your window of opportunity. I've only been talking about this for the past month.
You were warned.
So, but there are definitely shows that you want to see and get those tickets. Get those tickets. And I'll be there working merch, and CDS will be there probably working merch as well. So
yeah, one of the other things I need to do is sign up. So
You do.
Yeah. So I'm the CDS Scotchbringer, and what that means is that I have a podcast where I talk at length about single malt scotch. You can find that at scotch.xtlpodcast.com.
Mm-hmm. And we'll put a link in the show notes.
Hell yes.
I do not have anything to plug. My season is finally over.
Woo!
And I'm going to take a nap.
Nice.
Very good idea.
I want that too.
It's a solid
for
plan.
You specifically, but also me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is anybody got any final thoughts?
Bye bye. Love you. Bye bye bye.
In that case, thank you so very much to everybody who listens to this podcast. Thank you to CDS Scotchbringer for being our guest and for providing the Fast Five.
Yay.
God damn.
On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
I want to blame you, and normally I do blame you, but
Just go
I'm ahead. Pretty sure this is actually my fault.
Oh, shit.
We've got it on tape.
Oh, no.